Next on BYUSN, listen to this. BYU football favored to win all but one game in 2025, according to ESPN's FPI. Why do we think the formula likes the Cougars so much? BYU safety Raider DeMooney details how the secondary looks heading into week one and what the defense needs to do specifically against Portland State.
BYU TV analyst and our quarterback, Blaine Fowler, will join the program. What are his expectations for Bear Bachmeier in week one and in his freshman season? And we'll test our knowledge of Portland State in the first edition of Embarrassing Us, a.k.a. Know the Foe, of 2025.
No shame, Jason. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, August 27th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is all in with the Swiftie Army on Taylor Swift's new engagement to Travis Kelce. He is Jason Shepherd.
Look, it's big news. It pretty much trumped everything else yesterday. I even got a text from my 13-year-old daughter who said that they were making announcements on the school bus about it.
What?
So, yeah, it's big news. It's big news. And then this coming from Clark Williams.
My favorite.
Yeah, from the Big 12. Game note, the Big 12 Conference is the only P4 league to have a student-athlete alumni currently engaged to Taylor Swift. Facts, Clark, right there.
So I only have one slight correction for that tweet, Jason.
Oh.
And this courtesy of our good friend Greg Rubel, who pointed out when it is a singular alumni, it's a man, it's alumnus. And when it's a singular female member of the alumni, it's an alumna. So it should say student athlete alumnus. Currently engaged to Taylor Swift. That's for you, Greg, and happy birthday yesterday.
Yeah, happy birthday yesterday to Greg Rubel, the voice of the Cougars.
It's hilarious that because he went to Cincinnati, and now Cincinnati is all of, what, 3 years into the Big 12
right.
Conference? Just what? Grab on to all of it.
Jimmer Fredette's a Big 12 legend.
Absolutely.
He was a WCC legend. Come on! You're grandfathered in once you're in.
I'm here for it.
By the way, is this going to be one of those moments? You know, like, we have these moments in our lives where you remember where you were when. Is this one of those moments for you?
Well, I was on the show when it happened, so yeah, I'll never forget it.
big news. Big
news. All right, Swiftie Nation and BYU Sports Nation, let's go. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
This is a roster that's ready to go.
I want it now. I got to rise.
I can see 8 wins there, and then if everything comes together, they could get 10.
Look at the numbers that we're about to present to you. ESPN's Football Power Index. And I know you're like, yeah, we heard last week, Spencer, 8.7 wins. It's probably a little bit too high for what the nation is thinking, at least the national analysts, but the numbers like the Cougars, but we're going to take a deep dive even further into why ESPN says 8.7 wins over or under that, because BYU, Jason, is favored in 11 of 12 games by the percentages. The only game BYU is an underdog in is at Iowa State in late October, and they still have a 44% chance, according to the metric, to win that game. What is your reaction to these numbers as BYU favored in 11 of 12 games?
My first reaction is, what happened to all those naysayers that were thinking BYU is going to struggle to get to 6 wins?
They'll be lucky to get to a bowl game.
What has changed? It will surprise nobody that the highest win percentage, according to FPI, is Portland State at 99%. I would probably put it at the 99.9, sort of like that, you know, the can kill 99.9% of the germs.
On the hand sanitizer bottle.
But look, I mean, Stanford at 88.4. Of all of these percentages, in terms of the favored percentages, which one surprised you the most?
Probably BYU at Texas Tech as a favorite.
Yeah.
As a favorite. Now listen, I'm all in on BYU being ready for that game after the bye week. I love that Jay Hill and the defense will have 2 weeks to prepare for what looks like a very talented and vaunted Texas Tech offense this season. But BYU being favored in Lubbock after they have to play at Iowa State shocked me the most. Number two on that list, Jason, probably at home against Utah, 70%.
Yeah, being favored at home against Utah was not surprising. We all expect that. But at 70%, I did not expect it to be that high, certainly based off of what a lot of the prognosticators are saying they believe Utah can do this year. So that surprised me a little. But I'm with you. Being favored at Texas Tech, 55.7%. Now, I love this.
Andy Reid is reportedly going to be there with Patrick Mahomes in their own little side bet game.
Okay, here's... I don't know how large your luggage is that you take, but could you get a really big piece of luggage, cut some air holes in it, and then let me go, please?
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Listen, I know that we're flying Southwest because they have service into Lubbock out of Salt Lake City. Bags don't fly free anymore, Jason, but maybe they'll give me the free oversized baggage.
Yes, please. Yeah, 55.7% at Lubbock in what honestly could be one of the biggest games of the Big 12 season.
Oh, man. It feels like it's one of those pivot games, right?
Yeah.
To determine if BYU's really going to make a run at being in the conference championship game. I believe, and the percentages concur, that BYU will at worst be 5-1 through the first six games. I feel very confident they can do that. What do they do in the back six? If BYU can win a game at Texas Tech, a game of that type of challenge, then maybe they are legitimately contenders to get to Dallas and play in the Big 12 title game in 2025.
Okay, so I think this begs the question, why do you believe FPI is so different from most other rankings and prognostications?
Yeah, and let's double down. This is purely mathematical.
Correct.
And an algorithm.
This takes all of the emotion out of it.
There's no opinion here.
Yes.
But it is wild that you look at the human element, and for the most part, it is BYU's over-under is probably 6.5, so maybe they win six games. But essentially, the public opinion is BYU will be bowl eligible, but playing in a lower-tier bowl game tied into the Big 12 Conference, like an Independence Bowl type situation. Now, these numbers suggest that BYU is going to be on the cusp of maybe battling for a Big 12 title. Why the discrepancy is a loaded question. And I mentioned this when we talked about the 8.7 last week, but it has to start with the schedule and how the schedule ramps up for BYU. You look at the non-conference opponents, BYU heavy favorites in all three of those. In fact, 79% chance to win at East Carolina. That would qualify as the toughest of the non-conference games. Mm-hmm. And then at Colorado dips to 62%, but heavy favorites against West Virginia and 73% at Arizona. So because the first six are that way, I feel like the formula is saying, hey, we think that BYU has an easier schedule and the Cougars will pay that off to be at least 5-1. It gets notably tougher in the back six, yes, but the numbers suggest BYU will win at least three of those back six, so 8-4 really isn't that far out of the realm. So the way that the schedule is constructed, the fact that BYU does not play Arizona State, they do not play Kansas State either.
Right.
Like, that matters.
Yeah.
Those are tough opponents that BYU would not see unless maybe they match up with one of those teams in the Big 12 championship game. So right there, it starts with that, and then I mean, I'm sure you're going to mention it, but then I lean on the production that returns and the experience that returns from BYU's skill position playmakers outside of the quarterback and that defense, Jason.
Yeah, but see, I've been championing that all offseason, and I thought that's one of the reasons why BYU was being overlooked was because of all of the production on both sides of the ball that was coming back. And yes, the quarterback, because it all comes back to that. So you tell me if I'm reading way too much in this.
Okay.
Because I'm fully open to the idea that maybe I am. Maybe it's just a coincidence.
I like that we're taking a deep dive.
Yes.
A look inside Shep's mind. I love this.
So the only thing that has changed with anything with BYU football over the last 10 days is the announcement of a starting quarterback. Yet over that same period of time, all of these publications, podcasts, national media that had sort of brushed BYU aside once the quarterback situation became a competition, all of a sudden now seem to be, I don't want to say championing BYU, but the optimism for the Cougars seems to be significantly higher over the last 10 days.
Generally speaking, more positive outlook
than it was prior to. So is it simply because they named a quarterback? Is it simply because they are high on Bear Bachmeyer? What am I crazy to think that just naming Bear as the quarterback has been enough for people to change their opinion?
I think because Bear brings the resume that he does, and now he is the guy, and they're looking at, oh, former four-star guy that was offered by Georgia and Oregon and on Alabama's radar, now he's the guy at BYU. That encourages them to take a deeper dive into, okay, what weapons does he have around them? So I just think it's becoming less ignorant to what BYU actually is because people are spending time with the reality of what BYU does bring back. And listen, we're pushing a narrative. You and I, other people that are surrounded, are surrounding BYU football, I should say, that is, BYU's still pretty good.
Yes.
And if they have a guy who can just distribute the ball without turning it over too many times, then they could be in position to hit double-digit wins again.
Well, and maybe it
people are noticing
right.
that.
And maybe it comes back to what you mentioned in terms of the first six games and knowing the type of talent that Bear brings to that position, giving him six games to get his feet underneath him, to go through half the season with everybody around him. By the time they get to that real tough portion of the schedule, maybe they're banking on him with a good record, sort of fitting into that role by then.
Well, the key for BYU, if they really want to make a push at Dallas and do so with the true freshman quarterback, to me, is being at least 5-1 through six and then 7-2 after nine. If they're 7-2 after nine games, Jason, then it comes down to the final
yes.
three games.
Yes.
Whew. Some of these numbers are wild,
I know.
Right?
Yeah, so this is according to FPI. BYU projected 8.7 wins, as was mentioned. Favored in 11 of the 12 games. We've already talked about that. But how about this? 18.9% to make the playoff. By the way, that's the highest percentage in the Big 12 to make the playoff. 16.3% to win the Big 12. Also, the highest percentage in the Big 12. This is a complete 180 or a complete 360 if you're Karl Malone.
Just, nice. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
It contradicts still, even with the more positive outlook from the national media. They're not saying BYU is going to win the Big 12. Who's saying BYU is going to win the Big 12? I can think of one guy from CBS Sports, Shahan Jayaraja, who said BYU could compete for a spot in the Big 12 title game. He didn't really say that BYU would win the Big 12. He just said they're in that next tier of teams that could surprise. So not the top three, but like the next three. That's about as outlandish as the national media opinion has been favoring BYU. But then you consider that, like, what is happening? 19% chance. It has to be the schedule, Jason. It has to be the fact that BYU doesn't play Arizona State or Kansas State and that they have Utah at home.
Right.
And a couple of TCU.
But you're still going to Iowa State.
Fair
you're
enough.
Still going
Fair.
To TCU.
They like BYU by the numbers. The most surprising to me probably is that BYU has the highest chance, according to FPI, to win the Big 12. Like, I know the playoffs is 19%, but like there, you can find another way into the playoff and not win the Big 12. You can go to the Big 12 championship game and lose, but not have a good enough resume. Or sorry, have a good enough resume to appeal to the committee and still get in. But the highest in the Big 12 to win the Big 12, that to me is almost stunning. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. Because everyone else, like, you ask a BYU football player, and it's like, no one believes in us.
Yeah.
Well, the math believes in BYU. Which is the most surprising to you?
Yeah, probably the 18.9% to make the playoff. Because obviously, you want to get to Arlington, and the hope is that you go to Arlington, you win that, and then you get the automatic berth. But just the fact that BYU, out of all the teams in this conference, according to FPI, has the highest percentage to be in the college football playoff. That, to me, is probably the most surprising.
This metric will move week by week and game by game. This is a changing formula, but I want everybody to bookmark the preseason numbers, and then we'll come back and see just how close or far away FPI was on BYU and all of the Big 12 teams. Our question of the day, what we're just talking about, which of those projections from ESPN's FPI has the greatest shock value? The BYU is going to win 8.7 games, favored in 11 of 12 games, 90% chance to make the college football playoff, or 16% chance to win the Big 12. Now, my opinion goes against the numbers. Only 6% of you say that a 16.3% chance to win the Big 12 is the most shocking. Do you remember that if you win the Big 12, you get the automatic berth to the college football playoff?
Right.
Okay. It's the highest percentage of any Big 12 team right now. At Porter Merrill, 09 on Instagram, says, favorite in 11 games. Last year was quite the opposite. That's winning the poll right now. 48% of the vote, 38% of the vote to the college football playoff, and 8% to 8.7 games. Wow. BYU was favored, by the way, in only four games going into the season last year. Four. Yeah. Yeah. Remember that? I remember that. I got to break out my 4.5 wins t-shirt. It's happened. It'll happen this week.
Did you have a like a security blanket when you were younger?
Of course I did.
I think we all did.
Stuffed animal, blanket.
Yeah, just something that was comforting. And when you needed help, it was always there.
Right now, it's watching BYU football highlights from last season.
I like it.
Security blanket.
It brings up this question. Who or what will Bear Bachmeier's biggest security blanket be this season? I love this question because I honestly believe there are several really good answers here.
There are. This is not an easy question to answer.
So what would you say his biggest security blanket will be this year?
Well, I feel like it needs to be LJ Martin and that BYU run game. I think that is the surefire way. If you can turn around and hand the ball off to what Bear Bachmeier says is the best tailback in the country, I know, teammate bias, but still, if you can hand it off to him, and Jason, he's pushing 100 yards a game and is going over 1,000 yards for the season against 10 power fours, then that's big time for BYU. Like, you want to talk about taking immediate pressure off a quarterback's shoulders and settling him into a game? Turn around and hand the ball off to LJ Martin and watch what he can do. That, to me, is the cozy, warm, secure feeling that any new quarterback should hope for and strive to have, is a running back of that caliber and with that much talent. The key, of course, will always be, can LJ stay healthy for all 12 games, or at least play in at least 10 of the regular season games? So I'd probably start that answer there.
Okay. For me, I have a 1 and a 1A.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, I also thought, I'm not going to overthink this. Who was the security blanket last year for Jake Retzlaff? When they needed a catch.
A big play,
a first down, something to keep a drive going, who did Jake try and find?
I can't help but think of the fourth down conversion against Oklahoma State and the huge catch over the middle against Utah when BYU had the manna from heaven after the flag extended the game, and the catch against UCF. And all three of those are Chase Roberts.
Chase Roberts proved that he can handle that role last year. I don't see any reason why Bear Bachmeier would not lean into that again and go to a guy that I believe is more than capable of being a 1,000-yard receiver this
year. Plays breaking down. Where is two?
Find number two. So for me, the answer is Chase Roberts. Again, though, I do have a 1A, and I am so bullish on Carson Ryan. And I love the fact that you have not just Kalani bringing him up multiple times, but now in recent weeks, A-Rod has talked glowingly about Carson Ryan, and not just his skill set, but the fact that he is an every down tight end, which leads you to believe that this is a guy that they trust to throw the ball to a lot.
I believe the quote was, he's a lot better than we thought he was going to be. From Aaron.
Right. Well, and he says, we've essentially not had this since Isaac Rex's freshman year, and we saw how that ended, the production that Isaac was able to have. So for me, that would be a 1A to Chase Roberts being the answer.
Some of you are thinking outside the box. And I agree with you because you're thinking, now, wait a second. What does any quarterback want in case he makes a mistake to bail him out? An elite defense. That also qualifies as a security blanket. Maybe the biggest security blanket for Bear Bachmeier is that he can rely on the BYU defense to bring it series in and series out. I'm just excited to watch actual football, Jason.
Let's bring it.
With the actual opponent in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, which is how many days away?
Countdown to the Vikings.
3 days away.
Three days away.
3 days.
And a pristine kickoff time, might I add. 80 degrees.
And sunny.
As a high on Saturday. And sunny, no rain in the forecast. It'll probably be high 70s about kickoff, 6 p.m. local time. Glorious. Glorious, Jason.
Let's bring it. All right, game day coverage for said BYU football season opener against Portland State. Lots of places to check it out. BYU Sports Nation game day beginning at 6 Eastern on BYU TV. Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio at 6 Eastern. Portland State versus BYU 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus and on BYU Radio. Plus postgame coverage immediately following the game on BYU TV and BYU Radio. We've got you covered before, during, and after.
I don't want to hear this, but I couldn't find it. It's everywhere. You will find it.
You will find it.
Up next, I spoke with BYU safety Raider DeMooney after practice yesterday. Why does he feel so confident in Jay Hill's defense? What's the safeties room like? And is he talking with trash with the other DeMooney on the squad? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Coach Hill and the Cougs days away from their season opener.
It's Raider DeMooney into the backfield for a loss of three on the play.
The goal is always going to be the number one defense in the Big 12.
Pressure in from DeMooney, wraps up and throws down Sanders.
Last year was a successful year. I think this year we should be better.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. You heard the words from Jay Hill. Last year was good. We expect to be better this year. I spoke with one of his critical safeties, Raider DeMooney, after practice yesterday and got his thoughts on why he feels BYU will be better and what qualifies as an acceptable result against Portland State. This is Raider DeMooney on BYU Sports Nation.
Raider, what's the most exciting part about kicking off the 2025 season, which is just a few days away?
I think it's just the fact that we get to be back in Lavelle Edwards Stadium in front of the best crowd, best student section in the nation. We've been working so hard this offseason and this past summer, and so we're super excited to go in and actually play some football against an opponent. So, yeah.
The BYU defense, notably, was very good last year. But in talking with several of your teammates and coaches and your defensive coordinator, there's this idea that, hey, we can take it up another notch. Why do you feel like there is such confidence coming off of such a great season?
I think it's just because a lot of us got game experience last year. You know, from the young guys, we lose a little bit of production on the defensive side, but so much people got experience. We've been studying. We work hard together. And so, like, the comfortability in the defense right now, everybody is comfortable. We're making checks. We can freestyle off of each other, and so it's kind of been fun, and we're looking to take it to the next step.
What's the best part about playing in the safeties room right now?
I think it's the fact that we can both play. Anyone can play any position in the safety room. You know, we can play strong, we can play free, and then that gives us opportunities to disguise more to opponents, and so that's been fun. And then also just being around the guys, I think we're all super close as a room. And even though we're all competing against each other, there's a high love in that room. And so it's been fun to play with them and then also make plays with them on the field.
If you were explaining your role in a Football 101 book, what would you say about your responsibilities and your position?
Make the checks. You know, the safeties, we're like the Coach Hill likes to tell us, we're the quarterbacks of the defense. You know, we make all the checks. We see the formations the best out of everyone on the field because we're so far back. And so I think just making those checks, being the communicator, it's why the free safety wears the headset in the game to get calls from the coaches. But I think that's what we are. We're like the quarterback. We kind of lead and make checks and everything like that.
For what it's worth, you and Tanner Wall are listed as the starters, even though you know and Jay Hill knows that a lot of guys are going to play. Tommy Prassis is listed as the starting nickel for now. What's your relationship like specifically with Tanner Wall on the field?
Man, it's just so nice having somebody on the field that has experience and that you know 100% of the time is going to be in the right place. And so being there, if there's questions, you know, not even on the field, but off the field too. We all ask Tanner. Tanner helps us understand. And so knowing that, you know, the post is going to be locked down every single time, that's something that's huge for us as safeties, to trust on each other. And so it's big out there for us to have that trust.
What's the best part about playing for Jay Hill and having him and his expertise in the safeties room?
It's the amount of learning that we've been able to learn from Jay Hill. Like, there's so much things that I didn't know about football prior to coming to BYU that he's taught us, and it just kind of becomes a part of who we are as a safety room. You know, the way he thinks, that's what we're trying to think. And you watch film with him, he knows every little thing, and so he gets us the most prepared. I think that's the best part of it too, is, you know, he's our DC, but for the whole team, but the safety room, he gets us so prepared for the games, and it's been an advantage for us moving forward.
Not much gets by Jay. Yeah. And I know he's pointed out inadequacies by nature of what coaching is, and mistakes, so that you can learn and grow from them. But as you look back at your early days at BYU, and I know some of those plays are painful,
yep,
where do you feel like you have grown the most?
I think just the mental side of the game, like understanding football in general. Like, coming into BYU and I was just thrown in the fire, I appreciate that, those opportunities. I messed up, I learned from those mistakes, but the amount of knowledge that I've gained from my freshman year to now, to put myself in the right position to know what offenses are going to do, has been great. So I've been blessed to have that opportunity.
I know you have dialed in on Portland State. You've seen them play a game against Tarleton. What do you feel like Portland State is going to try and do against BYU to cause the defense some problems?
I think they're, you know, you play against any FCS school, you know, they're coming in, they're looking to beat us. And I think they're a physical team. Coach Hill has coached against this coach a lot of times, and he tells us, you know, he preaches to their team to be tough, you know. And so I think that's something that they're going to try and bring to us. They're going to bring the boom to us, but we got to, you know, counter that and match that. And so I think that's what they're good at. They have athletic quarterbacks, good running back, and so it's going to be a fun game against them.
BYU is a heavy favorite. No surprise or shocker there. What are you trying to accomplish so that you walk out of LES feeling good, like you did what you were supposed to do on Saturday night?
Obviously dominate. You know, I think that's the expectation for any game we go into, but you know, being 100% sound in our assignments, communication, knowing the checks, I think that can be a real big step forward for us if we lock into that. And so I think that's the goal for us, is to just play every down 100% mentally and physically, bring it.
What type of emotions go through your mind and your body when you run out to a crowd at Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
Man, I still think of that first time I ran out to Lavelle Edwards Stadium. There's nothing that compares, you know, running out. There's so much sacrifices that were made, a lot of hard work to get put in that position. And so just running out inside a stadium that's packed every single game, loudest fans, it's a blessing, and it's the best feeling. I can't even describe it.
Raider DeMooney is with us on BYU Sports Nation. How much of the playbook do you feel like BYU is going to show in game number one? Because I've been told it's pretty deep with Jay Hill.
You never know. You know, you can – I think we'll definitely our base stuff, and Coach Hill likes to bring a lot of pressures and stuff, and so I think they'll be a good amount. I'm not sure how much he's going to run, but we installed a lot of plays in fall camp, and so we're looking to do all of those plays.
What, just out of curiosity, what's your favorite type of play to make on defense? Is it a TFL? Is it a pick? Is it a pass breakup with a big hit? You walk me through your process of what gets you going.
Man, so obviously, like, from previous experience, a pick is the best, getting an interception. But after getting a sack, my first time ever getting a sack, I think that's one of the best feelings I've ever had. And so being able to get a big stop like that, a TFL, a sack, or even a big hit, those feel really good.
Tell me there's a few safety blitzes for you somewhere in that playbook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All of us. We're coming.
Great. Okay, let's finish with this. I love hearing players talk about their teammates through their eyes. And so let's just go with the safeties, because that's where you spend most of your time. You already talked about Tanner Wall being in the right place at the right time. He's super smart. What are you seeing from a guy like Fale Tausatuala?
Someone who's just extremely humble. He loves to learn. And then, like, his athleticism, you can't coach that. Like, he's 6'5", slender man. Like, he's huge. So it's He definitely is a gifted player. He has a lot of athleticism. And then just, like, being in the room with him, he's such a down-to-earth guy, humble guy, takes coaching. We all coach each other up. And so it's been good to be around Fale Tau and Tanner and Talon and Tommy and all those guys in the room.
Okay, let's talk about Tommy Prassis. Yep. What are you seeing from him?
Tommy's good, man. He's his confidence is the reason why he's a great player, in my opinion. He also knows the plays. He's a very smart football player, and he's going to put himself in the right position at the right time. Like the Kansas State game, you know, he was right there where he was supposed to be. And so I think his confidence is his strength and his physicality. He's a great athlete.
Okay, and you mentioned Talon. Let's finish with him. What makes Talon Alford unique in this group?
Talon's like the – Tanner Wall is super smart too, but Talon's like our – he's another guy that we look up to. You know, he's another guy that helps us with the plays, helps everybody in the room. We all help each other, but, you know Talon is – those guys are smart, man. And so it's been fun to learn from them. And, just humble guys, everyone in the room.
Okay, and finally, who's the toughest guy to play against in practice?
In practice, like a receiver?
Could be anybody on the field.
Man, the toughest guy to play in practice. Definitely like LJ Martin and Sione Moa. Those two, and Jovessa Damuni. The running back room, it's hard to, especially when you get them in open space, those guys they're tough to guard. And so it's been good to play against them.
Does Jovessa talk an extra amount of trash to you because you share the same last name?
Oh, yeah, he does. You know, he comes over on Sunday dinners, and we talk trash to each other. And then I don't know if you saw today, we were talking a little bit of trash, but, yeah, he talks a lot of trash.
Raider, we appreciate the time, man. Can't wait to watch you play on Saturday. And let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the game against Portland State.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
If you missed last night's season premiere of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake featuring senior wide receiver Chase Roberts, you can always watch it anytime on demand on the BYU TV app.
Coming up, which former Cougars made the final 53-man rosters in the NFL yesterday? That full list and more in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
The show rolls on from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Let's roll out your headlines.
As we mentioned earlier in the program, BYU football 3 days away from opening the 2025 season against Portland State. Here's what defensive coordinator Jay Hill had to say about Saturday's game after practice yesterday.
Well, we're going in this game to win, and our starters are going to be in there as long as they need to be able to do what we need to do to play well. Ideally, in all of our games, we get backups in there that get valuable reps, and we get guys in there that, because you got to have your depth, and so they need reps to be able to continue to progress. And so, yes, I would expect to see the twos in there this game and early in the game, because that's how we handle every game.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6 Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio. Kickoff 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Yesterday marked cutdown day in the National Football League, and 12 former Cougars make active 53-man rosters, including the great Fred Warner for the 49ers, Puka Nacua on the Rams, Taysom Hill with the Saints, Tyler Algier with the Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Van Noy doing his thing as a star off an all-pro season with the Ravens, Zach Wilson is with the Dolphins. Let's continue. Ryan Rico, starting punter for the Bengals, Brady Christensen with the Panthers, Kingsley Suamataia with Kansas City. And the whole Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift onslaught of media attention. Kyra Songa with the New England Patriots, Zane Anderson and Chris Brooks are teammates with the Green Bay Packers. Of note, 3 Cougars remain on teams' rosters, but on injured reserve. Blake Freeland lost for the season with the Indianapolis Colts. He's not going anywhere. He'll be back. The question marks are Tyler Batty and the Minnesota Vikings, and Jacob Robinson with the San Francisco 49ers. Unfortunately, both Batty and Robinson were pacing to make the 53, Jason. Robinson breaks his forearm. Batty has a knee injury. We'll wait and see what happens. Hopefully, they stick around when they get healthy with some practice squads.
Yeah, they put in the work and deserve to be rewarded for it. BYU's men's and women's cross-country teams were highly ranked in yesterday's USTFCCCA preseason poll. The women's team ranked number 1 overall, and the men's team ranked 4th after both teams won the national championship last season.
BYU women's soccer, speaking of rankings, jumps to number 11 in the latest United Soccer Coaches poll following a big home win over then 4th-ranked UCLA last week. BYU now has 2 ranked wins early in the season. Up next for BYU, a home match against Auburn on Friday night at Southfield, followed by a potential top 10 opponent in Arkansas on Tuesday.
It's never too early to talk about bracketology.
Let's go.
ESPN's Joe Lunardi has BYU men's basketball as a 2 seed in his latest Way Too Early Bracketology update. Ooh, yeah. BYU expected to be a preseason top 10 team.
A two seed would be historic for BYU because they've never had that good of a seed in the tournament. Three has been the best. Woo! On to some baseball. Justin Sterner, former Batcat, pitched an inning in 2/3 yesterday for the Athletics, giving up one run and recording a strikeout in a 7-6 victory over the Detroit Tigers. After the break, BYU TV analyst Blaine Fowler is back on the program to discuss, yes, the quarterback, Bear Bachmeier, and what is a reasonable expectation for the true freshman in his first start. This is BYU Sports Nation.
The team that we have this year is the best that we've honestly had when it comes to skill.
For a freshman, against our complicated defensive scheme, I think he's done a great job of handling it.
He's one of those guys that could have gone just about anywhere he wanted.
Bear can go in and do anything and everything that the other two guys can do. We call this program BYU Sports Nation, and we're doing it live from Studio B alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. Let's bring in guest number two for the show. He is our dual threat analyst, specifically covering football on today's show, Blaine Fowler, Uncle B. Blaine, how are you this fine morning, good sir?
I'm doing great. And each day of this week that comes is one day closer to game day, and I just keep getting excited. So can you guys see that picture behind me right there? Can you see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. LES.
Is there anything more exciting than that stadium full like that in that setting? It's just, it is one of the best, if not the best, environments in all of college football. And I can't wait for game day to be here Saturday, to be back there with all those fans looking just like that.
Blaine, I don't know what it is, but you just look smarter to me right now.
I know, I'm wearing glasses today. My eyes are, like, these are my reading glasses. Like, I can see far really good, but up close sometimes I have trouble. And my eyes are messed up this morning. I don't know what's going on. I need to get some more sleep before our game on Saturday, right?
Rest up, man. Come on, let's go. We got a lot to discuss and in a short amount of time, so let's get right to it with, of course, the quarterbacks. You played quarterback at BYU. You know what a quarterback battle and competition is all about. Bear Bachmeier is the guy who wins that competition, Blaine, and will be BYU's first ever true freshman quarterback starting game number one. So what is a fair expectation for Bear against, frankly, a bad Portland State team?
Yeah, I don't know how much of a test this is going to be. I feel like this is just an extension of fall camp where it's like a scrimmage and it's different people showing him different looks. You know, he may see some things in this game that Portland State didn't show in their week zero game. So we're going to see how adaptable he is. But this to me is more about, hey, get him over in the stadium with a full house, with all of the pressure of everybody looking in a game day environment and see how he manages that. I think it's a great first game. When they announced the schedule and they said Portland State, who has been a good program but really struggled last year, and we knew this was going to be a rebuilding year for them this year, I thought, yeah, that's kind of okay. That's when we had Jake Retzlaff coming back, right? But when Jake left, and then when 2 weeks ago when they named Bear Bachmeier the starting quarterback, I thought, this is a great first game to have. Like, this is exactly what he needs to do some things and to further what he's already shown in camp and to get some things under his belt to progress along this pathway that really needs to kind of not come to its completion, but come to where he's competitive and P4 ready by the time they play Colorado.
As for the team, Blaine, when you play a game like this where you're favored by more than 40 points, the outcome really isn't in doubt. But in terms of what would make a successful afternoon for this BYU team, where do you land on that? What does this team need to do in this game for it to be successful?
You're not just looking at score. That doesn't really give you an accounting of what they would like to accomplish in this game. I think you look at With Bear in particular and with this offense, can they effectively move the football without turning it over? And in most games, I'd say win the turnover margin battle. In this game, I would say don't turn it over, period. Can they play completely clean on offense with no turnovers? That, to me, would be the challenge that I would be issuing if I was A-Rod, because I think it can be done against this team. There shouldn't be so much pressure that they make bad decisions. So I think we'll look at that. Does he spread the football around on offense? All of a sudden, with Carson Ryan at tight end, do the tight ends get involved? Do both running backs get involved? You know, is there balance? And this is a game where you could probably line up and just run the football right at Portland State for 450 or 500 yards rushing and not even throw it. Take it back to the 96 BYU-Utah game where Norm Chow just said, well, if they can't stop us running, we're not gonna throw it. And I think Sark threw it 12 times. It was embarrassing for Utah. This is different than that. You could do that in this game. I think you need to let Bear throw it 25 times in this game. He needs work in a real game situation. You got to let him throw it, and you got to let him play a little bit longer. If they're up by 35 at half, he still comes out and plays the third quarter. I think he needs reps. So those are some things I'm looking for offensively. Defensively, I want to be – you can never be error-free, but I want to be big mistake error-free, if that makes sense. I don't want to see this defense give up big plays over the top because of blown coverages, improper rotations, bad communication. Somebody's going to miss a tackle. Somebody's going to get beat in a one-on-one. I mean, those things happen. I want to see execution on this defense. There's enough veteran players at the important positions on this defense that I want to see near flawless execution when it comes to not giving up big plays, either in the run game or the pass game over the top. And so those are things I'm looking for. Regardless of what the score is, I want to see the two sides play very clean and execute at a high level. There's enough veterans on this team that's not a crazy expectation.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. We are discussing BYU and Portland State, but let's take it bigger picture and point out what Jason and I talked about early in today's show, and that is BYU's favored in 11 of 12 games according to ESPN's Football Power Index. Purely mathematical, no opinions there. The numbers like BYU. Why do you think, Blaine, that BYU is looked at so favorably with those numbers in play?
It's interesting because I do feel like that ESPN, that their power ranking and all of that. And Spencer, you and I were talking about this yesterday when I was there in the studio taping after further review. ESPN's formula takes a lot of metrics into account, multiple metrics that they throw in there. I kind of trust that one, although it's been wrong. You know, it's been wrong, and it morphs throughout the season because this is all based on preseason projections. But I feel like it's a fair evaluation of where BYU is based on who they have coming back in key leadership positions, based on the depth that they have versus last year, and based on who they brought in. For instance, we're all worried. Well, they lose four starters on the defensive line. And then all of a sudden you get Keanu Tanabasu, who transfers in, who's phenomenal, like an NFL draft pick type of a guy. And some guys that have come back from missions that were part-time players last year that are now in full health. And like I point to somebody like Cody Hagan. Watch Cody Hagan have a crazy breakout year. So based on who they have coming back, who's now been back a year from a mission and is going to step up their game, who transferred in, I feel like the metrics have hit it on the money this time with ESPN. And I think it's not crazy to have. Now, that may change. There may be a surprise team that's later in the season that BYU's favorite in that all of a sudden goes out and wins seven straight to start their season, and then BYU's not a favorite on the road. I think the schedule also sets up well. I was talking about this last night with Gavin, actually, where I felt like the two toughest games on the schedule were at Iowa State and at Texas Tech. And then I thought they were toss-up, but they're not a toss-up. Iowa State's the toughest game on the schedule. It's on the road at a difficult place right after BYU plays a rivalry game. That's the toughest game. Texas Tech, BYU gets to play after a bye week.
Yes.
And Texas Tech happens to be at Kansas State while BYU's sitting back and getting ready for Texas Tech. That game has a little of the edge taken off of it for BYU because of that bye week. So everything sets up for them to have a magnificent season. Those types of seasons always mean you stay healthy throughout the whole season. That's always the big X factor that you can't predict. But they stay healthy. I like the way they look, and I think ESPN's pretty much on the money.
All right, Blaine, back to Bear for a second. Who or what do you expect to be his biggest security blanket this year?
Interestingly, I think Chase Roberts is going to be his go-to guy just because he should be, right? Like he's so big and he's so long and he makes so many difficult catches when he's actually got people in his vicinity. you could say he's covered. But if the defensive back or the linebacker that's on him doesn't have great leverage and you throw all the ball away from the coverage, even with somebody right on him, he's going to go make a play for you. He's the kind of receiver you got to have. Like when I was playing, and I don't usually go back to hey when I was playing, but people remember this name. We had Glenn Kozlowski, who played with the Bears. Whenever I was in a game, if things got all bunged up downfield and I couldn't really see the way I wanted to see or couldn't find anybody open, if I caught Glenn Kozlowski in a glimpse of my eye and recognized he had one-on-one coverage, in my mind it's like, oh, I could just throw it right there. He's open with one-on-one coverage because he's going to go get it and he will not let it get picked. That's who Chase Roberts can be and should be for Bear this season. And then the other one that maybe we haven't thought about, because as I've watched fall camp, Bear likes to throw the ball to the tight ends, and Carson Ryan has made this magnificent transformation from kind of new and not knowing what's going on in spring to fall camp, where he looks like a legit big-time All-American type tight end for BYU. I think when things are breaking down, it's always nice to have a big body inside to dump the ball off to, and I think Carson Ryan will be that guy for Bear. So I think those are the two guys.
Blaine. Smart man. I said the exact same thing, Blaine. I said it's Chase Roberts, and then 1A would be Carson Ryan.
Well, and there's one other little wrinkle this year that we're all going to see. And these backs, so especially – in fact, all four of them. Let's just talk about all four of them because I'm going to include Noheny and Preston Rex in this. But especially those two starters, Sione Moa and L.J. Martin. They're so good at not only running the entire offense in the run game, but they both are very good at catching the ball in the backfield. We're going to see some two-back sets. They're going to get some mismatches with somebody's going to – a linebacker's going to have to take one of those guys, and that's going to make it really easy for Bear to identify who to go to. And when things are not looking great and you can just dump it down to running back, so you throw the ball 3 yards down the field and they run another 20 for a first down, that run after catch with those guys, they're really going to help them this year. So let's not forget that those backs are complete, not just running backs but catching backs out of the backfield.
Great stuff with Blaine Fowler. I'm a man who appreciates a big-time vocabulary. You have that, Blaine, specifically using the term bunged up, which is an informal British English term. You brought it, and it means congested, and I have so much love and respect for you and your vocabulary.
You know where I got that word? Chow used to use that word all the time. When Mike Holmgren was our quarterback's coach and Norm was the offensive coordinator, he used to say to us, "Guys, Blaine, Steve, like Robbie, when it's all bunged up down there, like check down, get the ball out to the easy throw, take the easy throw. Don't throw it when it looks all bunged up to you." So that word's been part of my vocabulary since the 80s, and Norm Chow gave me that word.
I love it.
Well done.
Blaine, great to talk with you, man. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Blaine.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Bunged up.
There we go. If you missed last night's episode of After Further Review, preview BYU season opener against Portland State, you could watch it on demand anytime on the BYU TV app.
More responses to our question of the day about what's the most shocking number from ESPN's FPI in regards to BYU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory.
Question of the day, which of these projections from ESPN's FPI has the greatest shock value? Win 8.7 games, favorite in 11 games, 19% chance to make the college football playoff, or 16% chance to win the Big 12, and your winner is favorite in 11 games with 47.3% of the vote. By the way, at Gen X BYU fan says, only 8.7 wins? Where are the blue goggles with the appropriate picture of one Jerem Jordan rocking the ridiculously sized blue goggles? Where are those, by the way?
I don't know.
We've actually produced some bigger blue goggles.
Maybe Jerem has them in his office.
They're hiding. Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Matt Willardson on Instagram. Favored in 11 games is what Matt says. When was the last time BYU was favored in 11 games starting the season?
It wasn't last season because it was only four. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Let's
give it to all the Cougars that made the 53-man rosters in the NFL.
And good luck to those still trying to make that dream come to fruition. Our thanks to today's guests, Raider DeMooney and Blaine Fowler.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Nate Carter. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs!